If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini Guy Mike. I'm here with Matt Stevens, the man who covers our football team like a blanket. And of course, we're getting really close to game week. We've heard that term a ton from Coach Bielema, and he had a media session today. And of course, we've got Matt here to break down kind of the things that you want to know about. A lot of things were said. Some things were more important than others. And we're going to let Matt break it down a little bit. So, Matt, you were there today. What exactly did you hear that from somebody who's covered football programs at Mississippi State, at Auburn, at Purdue, and, of course, you're an Illinois veteran? Was there anything that came out to your ears that maybe your average person or even your reporter who hasn't covered the SEC and the Big Ten might not have noticed?
Well, I think just your normal housekeeping, Mike, is that it sounds like Alex Palcheski is going to start at right tackle. He mentioned very, very succinctly, he being Bielema, he being the only person we got today, that he's very, very happy and very, very content and very confident about the two edges that he has. One being, you know, Vedarian Lowe on the left side, potential NFL draft pick as your left tackle. And then he said, I think we're going to do really well on the right side with Alex Palcheski. I was very interested that Julian Pearl was also mentioned in this about how Alex is trying to get him ready on the off chance that he wasn't going to be able to be full go. I think this maintenance program has worked. I asked Brett specifically about this, and it was news. The maintenance program was new to me, Mike. I've never heard of that. I've never covered that. And the reason I think that it was new to me, Mike, is I've never covered the NFL. And this is a regulatively, you know, regular thing in the NFL. Veterans don't practice, you know, 6 days a week, you know, 5 days a week before a game on Sunday. Bielema has taken that experience from Belichick. He's taken that experience from the New York Giants and kind of said, like, look, Alex Palcheski, this is not the normal time frame that I'm asking you to come back from a torn ACL. So you're going to sit out today. And you're not going to do much. That first scrimmage, I think he talked about him only being on the field for 15 snaps. Well, the whole idea was so he get to the second scrimmage and he stepped it up and was able to increase his production. And this whole thing has been inching toward Alex Palcheski being able to be the starting right tackle. Because, Mike, if he is the starting right tackle, there's a lot of options that you have at right guard at that point that are going to please Bart Miller and the offensive line people at Illinois. I think you could move Julian Pearl inside and kick him inside to guard. I don't know if they're going to do that, but then you have the options of Alex Pilstrom and Jack Borgenovich, the transfer from Colgate, that you have a lot more options if Palcho is just healthy enough to give it a go at right tackle. And it sounds like he is. So that was a major news item for me, at least. I think that the fact that we're not going to really know if this is true. He could be. I've told people this all the time, that now that we don't get to watch anything, if I was Brett Bielema, I'd stand up there and I'd lie, because I know Scott Frost is listening and trying to get at least some sort of insider information. I don't know how healthy they are or aren't right now, but it sounds like they've had a relatively healthy camp. We just saw a couple of days ago, Mike, that Northwestern lost its arguably its best offensive player and one of its best defensive players on the same day in camp. And so you always see these types of things. If Illinois, and this is not a, you know, affirmation about the young man. But if Illinois comes out of this camp with the only big loss being Jordan Slaughter, who was going to try to make an impact at right guard this year, then that's a win for Brett Bielema. And that's him using his NFL experience to benefit the safety and getting everybody healthy by August 28th, which was going to be a task in itself. So I thought that was major news. I was fully prepared. I know we're going to talk about game week, but I was fully prepared for him to kind of go through what this is going to look like. We're doing this on a Thursday night. So, you know, tonight, Friday afternoon, when they try to simulate this game, if you drive by the stadium, folks, on Friday afternoon, you're going to hear the band, and you're going to hear it pretty loud because their band's going to be in the stands. Cheerleaders are going to be on the field. And this mock game is going to be everything except tackle. Like, it's just going to be thud and everything you would expect to be involved with that. And so Brett's just kind of putting all the pieces together to line up for, you know, I would say Monday when they start to really ramp up Nebraska prep and start to figure out not only who's going to be able to help them, but how are they going to be able to attack Nebraska on both sides of the ball?
Yeah. And it is interesting with Alex healthy or healthy as he can be. It is a big win for Coach B, and it also is great in my book as a guy who's been in management. I'm looking at people who can bring in new ideas, new ways of doing things and applying them where they haven't been done before. And to me, that gives Coach B a big advantage over some of his competitors in terms of the fact he's got some of that knowledge, but not only he has it, but he's willing to apply it. That's a hard thing to do. The two things that I look for in a coach is somebody who can apply lessons learned and use those to his team's competitive advantage. The other thing I look for is a guy who can hire a great staff. So when I look at what he's got out there, he's kind of proven that so far. And certainly you could argue over on the basketball side, when your entire staff gets hired by Gonzaga in Kentucky, that meant you did a pretty good job of hiring. Now, it's not exactly how you want to find that out, sure, but it is good to see Coach B appears to be hitting on both cylinders in terms of that. Now, today they also announced the six 2021 team captains. Any thoughts from your vantage point on that?
Six super seniors, which I think should not shock anybody that you know, six of the 22 super seniors were going to be named captains of this football team, three of which showed up in Indy during media day. So you kind of knew half of what this list was going to look like when, you know, Doug Kramer, Owen Carney, and Vidarian Lowe show up for media day. I think you have essentially – you know, you have the pillars, and I don't mean this literally like when we talk about Memorial Stadium, but you have right. the pillars of this football team right now. And you're talking about the offensive line, it's Doug and it's Velo. And if you're talking about special teams, it's Blake Hayes, who's potentially an all Big Ten player. If you're talking about in the secondary, it's TA, it's Tony Adams, who's played pretty much every position known to God's green earth on that secondary and is finally back to where he ought to be at cornerback. And where Lovey wanted him to be, he just didn't have enough talent in the back four to get it done all the time. And then it's two guys to me that came back, and it's Owen Carney Jr. and it's Jake Hansen, and had to be convinced to come back. And so from that, I think you have a variety of guys that have the respect of that locker room. And I think it's a player led locker room to begin with. And I think that you've just identified six of the guys that have to be leaders in that locker room. I was surprised. I didn't know how many it was going to be honest. Six right. is a large number to send out for the coin toss. Lovey did it in a way that was like, I think he picked out six guys, and it was, you know, certain guys went out for certain games. So I think that might be the same way they do it this year with Bielema, and it was this program with Bielema. I think the only surprise that I had, if there is a surprise, is that BP wasn't on the list. I mean, right. if you go by the doctrine of Friday Night Lights, quarterback is your captain.
Yeah. Yep.
Then BP would be on there. I don't think that limits his leadership on this football team, and I don't think it cast aspersions on BP at all. I think he's got to own this offense. And if this thing's going to be ready to go on August 28th, BP is going to be a big part of it. So, but of the six guys, it's not shocking. And it's if Illinois is going to do well, these super seniors are going to have to carry you home. And six of them are, you know, named captain today because they have the ear and the pulse of that locker room.
Yeah. And if a battle royal breaks out in the middle of a coin toss with us having six captains, we're guaranteed to win most of those battle royals.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be too many pregame skirmishes with Jake Hansen and Madarian Lowe and Doug Kramer in the middle of all that. So I don't think that's going to happen. That was a guarantee from the jump anyway. I don't think they had to be named captain to figure that one out.
Yeah, there was definitely some gimmies in there. And I have to admit, you know, when I read the communication from the athletic department, the first three-time captains in Illinois football history. Now I realize there's a little bit of a extra year in there, but I don't know how you can minimize what a great accomplishment that is.
Yeah, we talked to some of these six-year guys at local media day on Saturday. It was funny because Bielema used the Animal House reference to like, now you've been here 6 years, you know, like, but I know for a fact that Alex Palcheski kind of took offense to the idea of being compared to Bluto, because he told me, he goes, I can show Coach B that my GPA is a little bit higher than 0.0, I've been here. But no, I think again, when you're talking about, you know, this 2021 season, if it was going to go anywhere and if it was not going to get stuck in the mud from the jump street of the Bielema era was going to get to go someplace and, you know, not get stuck in place in 2021, it was going to have to be 22 super seniors that were going to have to lead the way. And, you know, this is not shocking. This is a group that when you go back, here's the deal, is that I think part of being one of those three-time captains is Doug Kramer. Yeah. And it's why it took Doug Kramer about all of 5 seconds after Coach B talked to the team when they came back from the Penn State loss, that it took him all of 5 seconds to figure out, I want to be part of this again for a sixth year. It took, you know, Vidarian Lowe all of 5 seconds to figure out, yeah, I want to come back to Champaign and end this the right way. And so that's kind of the goal of these guys. And I think it's the goal of these six guys that have been named captain. Because even the two guys, Jake Hansen and Owen Carney Jr., well, they had to be convinced to come back to Illinois. But once they were convinced, they knew that one of the reasons they didn't want to be at Illinois in the first place was because that they just had so many memories that they want to forget at Illinois. And they've been a part of something that hasn't been very positive in their career, in their five-year career. This sixth year is a chance for them to make it something that they can feel good about as they leave campus. And that's kind of what the motto of this season is, more or less, and especially for these older guys, is that they have one more chance to actually get something started in terms of University of Illinois football on the right path, instead of being known as the guys that just kind of had it go sideways on them.
Yeah. Well, and it's been such a tough, what, 25 years ish, you know, with a couple of peaks in there that were pretty high, but it would be nice to see this foundation built. And we had that consistency that you saw out of Wisconsin, or we've had to watch from Iowa, and God bless it. You know, I grew up, both Wisconsin and Northwestern were horrible, and now they're both good every year. It's just, they used to be, as a kid, you would be like, oh, Wisconsin, that's a W. Oh, Northwestern, that's a W. And so there's really no reason why Coach Bielema can't turn it around. And maybe these kids will be able to look back years from now and say, yeah, we were a big part of that turnaround.
It's got to happen, Mike, because right now people look at Illinois being on their schedule and Rutgers being on their schedule and go, that's a W, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, Mike, I don't like to use this example a lot, but Mike, how old's Connor? I mean, like, he's never seen consistent winning with Illinois football his entire life, you know? And so that's what Bielema talks about with these recruits right now, this 2022 recruiting class. I mean, hell, he'll look at an 18-year-old right now and go, you've seen four winning seasons. Four.
Well, and it's even less when you consider that some of them were in the deep, dark past that they will not remember in any way, shape, or form. And as a former AAU coach, you know, I would tell people that, you know, the 2004-2005 team, you know, my oldest son is 24. He played AAU ball, and he can remember, you know, he was, you know, 8 years old, so he can pretty much remember that team a little bit in its formative years. But my 21-year-old and my 18-year-old, that's pretty much the thing that they think they remember. If you know, and people who are older will get that, but they think they remember it. But when they really go down, they're like, I don't know if I remember that, or I just remember Dad talking about it all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the crazy thing about this August 28th opener, because they've got the 2001 reunion team coming back. And I don't know how many people in the stands are going to be able to say, hey, I was there to watch Kirk Kittner and throw touchdown passes to Brandon Lloyd. You know,
that's exactly.
So that's now making me feel old. Even though I'm 37, but like that's kind of where Illinois football is right now. They're trying to turn it around. I think these six guys want to be remembered as the guys that led that locker room to turn it around once, you know, Bielema. The objective here is for Bielema to essentially try to be a consistent, you know, I would say newsmaker in the Western Division instead of being an also-ran or an afterthought in the Western Division. And this is the group that's got to get it done.
Well, and I've been around, you know, I was fortunate growing up in Mahomet to be right there going to junior high and high school during the Mike White, you know, early Mike White era.
Right.
And so we got to see, you know, my junior year of high school was the Rose Bowl year. And it was just amazing to see that when I was in seventh grade, I could get into the end zone and sit for a dollar. And then all of a sudden, by the time I was a junior in high school, they'd closed off those entrances and exits in the end zone, and you couldn't get a ticket unless you were paying full price or getting scalps. And then after college, I spent 1990 through 1995 in Madison, Wisconsin. And unfortunately, I got to watch that monster grow from a very ugly little baby to a monster with teeth and fangs. And it was just, and I remember thinking to myself, this is not good. Mm-hmm. But if you would have told me they'd be still winning in 2021, I wouldn't have bought into that at all. And there's no reason Illinois can't do that as well.
Yeah, Barry had a plan to the encouragement of all Illini fans. I think Brett has a plan too. And that's kind of, you know, Barry Alvarez had a plan in Madison. Kirk Ferentz had a plan in Iowa. And I think Brett Bielema's got a plan for Champaign. We'll just see if it can manifest itself into, you know, what, you know, Paul Chryst has been able to, you know, parlay after what Barry built, what Brett was able to parlay after Barry gave it away, what Kirk Ferentz was able to rebuild at Iowa, which was a pretty big rebuild job, to be honest. And then what Pat Fitzgerald's been able to do in Evanston. I mean, that's the gold standard right now in the Western Division of how to do this. And it's been a long road for Illinois to be able to do this. And there have been people who have tarnished the Illinois football program in my lifetime more than I think in any other generation. And I think it's a harder rebuild for Brett now, but it's not impossible.
I agree. So you talked about having a plan, and he's talked about game week. So, you know, you're a guy who's got to see some incredible coaches and watch some incredible football, both in the Big Ten and the SEC. For our listeners out here who aren't familiar, you know, obviously game week culminates in that most religious of Saturdays when the battle happens. Can you kind of take us through, let's say, a game week for a college player? Now, obviously, you haven't seen what Brett's done, but you got a pretty good idea of what's going to happen. So when you started a Sunday morning, what is game week for a college player at University of Illinois day by day?
Sunday morning was, I'll just use the most recent example that I have in my mind, which is, which is Auburn.
Okay.
Cause Sunday morning was me showing up at the facility as a reporter, about 10:30, 11 a.m. because recruits were going to leave the building at about noon. And that's okay. when you know, the official visitors were going to basically be able to be interviewed. The funny thing is that the from Auburn still doesn't have a football building. Believe it or not, that was Gus Malzahn's biggest pet peeve, was that we don't have a football building. Their athletics building was across the street from the athletes' dorm, and you would see athletes just hobble their way into the building to get treatment. So yep. Sunday is a day, once game day happens, that treatment's going to be basically all they do, and then they go home.
Okay.
And what Malzahn would do was what he called Sunday night football, which is what Lovey used to do, which is he called it Sunday night football as well, which is, you know, the freshmen that aren't going to play this year, they get to play and they get to showcase what they want, like, and actually get to run Auburn stuff for the only time of the week and stuff like that. So that's Sunday. I mean, if there was never any veterans or any guys that were going to matter, that were going to do anything physical on Sunday because their body just was just trying to get over what had just happened on Saturday night or Saturday afternoon. Come Monday, this is a new one for me, Mike, in 2021, because the NCAA has kind of done a different deal in the sense that I think that they've, or at least Illinois has, you know, massaged the NCAA rules a little bit, or massaged their way through the NCAA rules a little bit, where Monday is going to be an off day for the players. Okay. And they're going to have, you know, no media obligations on a Monday, which is usually the big media day as of the last few years, especially at Illinois. They're just going to be off. They're going to do soft tissue stuff. They're going to do what I was known like happened at Auburn on Sunday. They're going to do it on Monday, and then they're going to get their soft tissue stuff. They're not going to do, I don't think they're going to do anything really heavy physical on Sunday or Monday after a game. So, but from a coaching standpoint, Mike, these guys got in at about 8 a.m. on Sunday and just started going over everything that happened on Saturday. And by the time, I would say, late lunch, early dinner rolled around, they had flushed it. They had flushed everything that had happened on Saturday. They had graded out all of their positional players, graded out everything they needed to know. And that's when they start watching. Honestly, that's kind of when they start really getting in depth on the next coming opponent on that next Saturday. So from a coaching standpoint, you've got pretty much everything flushed on. We would have a couple of coaches at Auburn that we would talk to on a Sunday night. And then the whole thing was flushed. I mean, they didn't want to talk about it anymore.
Right.
Good or bad. And we've heard about, you know, Saban's 24-hour rule. That's kind of how it works. Monday is going to be a day where, you know, the coaches are going to start to look at, you know, how we can really start to break down, you know, the opponent. We're going to start to probably, there's going to be guys that are going to walk through the facility, you're going to see Brandon Peters probably show up on not only Sunday, but Monday, and have him go through with Tony Peterson how they're going to attack UTSA, you know, after the Nebraska game. This week, I think you're going to see Tony and BP start to do this, or they've already started with this, because Brett has talked about, what was it, 10 days out, so the 18th was going to be when they were going to start Nebraska prep, and then he ended up hitting that right on the head. And so they've already kind of started to do this because they have the extra time because it's the opener. But you know, Monday is going to be the big media day for Bielema and the two coordinators, and then for us. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, and I this was the interesting part, I think, of what Brett had to say today on this Thursday media availability, which is Tuesdays and Wednesdays are going to be the intense practice days. This is going to be the physical day. This is, you're still not, just because you don't want to be stupid, but you're never going to tackle to the ground anymore. We're done with that. Unless it's Saturday. Right. But this is going to be the most physical pounding that you take on Tuesday and Wednesday. And that's going to be the day that you start to figure out, you know, what's going to work, what's not going to work, who's healthy, who's not healthy, who can help us, who can't help us, they're going to figure out by probably the end of practice on Wednesday, who's going to be on that travel team and who's going to be on that travel roster. Because people need to understand, when you go out on the road, that travel roster, you know, shortens by a bunch.
Yes.
And especially in conference games, and they're going to have to figure out who's going to be on that. And I think they've already figured out who's on that. It's just a matter of, through injuries or however they want to look at the depth chart, who's going to be on that, who's going to be able to help them, yada, 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 who needs to take certain reps with the first team units on both sides of the ball, that kind of thing. Tuesday and Wednesday is going to be your big work day. And so from that standpoint, you know, Thursday is basically your day where you're trying to, that's almost kind of essentially a day where you're trying to figure out schematically what you're going to get. And they've talked about, you know, look, Tony Pearson's called it a player look team instead of just a scout team, is that we're getting looks from, you know, what we're going to see from Nebraska already. And I get kind of geeked out on the idea that I think Samari Collier is going to basically be the Adrian Martinez of giving Illinois the look of what they're going to look for, how they're going to attack that. And then it's, I don't want to call it a walkthrough because I think Friday morning, early in the morning becomes your walkthrough before you get on the bus, say to go on the road, which is what they're going to do on road games. For home games, I think Friday morning is going to be the walkthrough. They're going to get then they're going to go to class. They're going to get back on the bus and then go to the hotel on Friday. They're still going to do that this year. They're going to redo that. They did not do that in COVID during the COVID year of 2020. They're going to do that again and go to the hotel, meet up, do the meetings, Friday night meetings in the hotel, do the pregame meal at Champagne Country Club, and do the, you know, pregame breakfast in the hotel on Saturday morning. Saturday morning, they take the bus back over to the stadium, and you know, you play the ball game at that point. So I think everybody kind of does it the same way. It's just, I think Bielema has figured out, first of all, he's kind of taken the Lovey plan in the sense that he wants to work them in the afternoon. He wants to work them in the morning.
Yep.
So they can go to class in the afternoon. And I think he wants Tuesday and Wednesday to be the physical days. Now, Lovey got criticized during his tenure that his practices really weren't that physical at all. One Monday through Friday, and the skeptics were like, well, this is really hurting them on Saturdays. I tended to think that was Lovey taking his NFL approach to Illinois and saying, look, if I don't get anybody hurt Sunday through Friday, then I've done really well in practice. I think Brett Bielema is going to be a little bit more physical, especially on those Tuesdays and Wednesdays, but I think he's going to be super careful on every other day of the week. And I don't think, I think he understands, having been a head coach at Arkansas and at Wisconsin, what it's like to go through a August through November type season and try to keep everybody healthy. And that's going to be key. And I think that's where Bielema, I think, has an edge, where a lot of things have changed since he was fired in Arkansas in 2017, believe it or not, this game and college football in general. That has not. I think the work week has not, in a sense, in his mind. And I think the most important thing, and this is going to sound like cliche-ish, but the best ability for a player is availability, especially in that sport. And I think that Bielema is going to figure that out very, very soon, and already has with his maintenance program. So that's kind of your week. I think they're going to try to map this out starting tonight and starting Friday when they do the mock game on Friday afternoon. This is why Brett Bielema has been practicing during fall camp at, you know, noon to two, is because guess what? We're going to play on August 28th at noon. And he threw in a couple of night practices because they're going to play Maryland on a Friday night. They're going to play UTSA then at week two at night. And so I think the only changes you're going to see during the week, Mike, is that, say, when they go to Virginia, I think he's going to use the practice fields in front of the Smith Center a lot because it's the grass field.
Yes, yes.
I think that you're going to – but I don't think the practice times are going to change simply because these kids have got to go to class at some point. And so I think the practices are still going to be in the morning. But I do think Brett, because of the way he lined the field differently than the way Lovey used to do it, and was able to get, you know, he was able to get a camera guy up in the scissors truck at the one end zone on one side of the grass fields. I think he's going to utilize that grass field a little bit more. And he was asking us in the middle of August, I was standing there with one of my colleagues on the beat. He was asking us, do these fields hold up through November? Because I'm going to try and use them, especially during games where we're going to have to play on grass and we're going to have to play on our grass cleats and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of the only change I see, is that where they're going to be practicing, depending upon where they're going to be playing. But I do tend to think that this is going to be the schedule you're going to see Sunday through Friday of game week at Illinois under Brett Bielema.
Yeah. And let's hope that that first game goes well for Illini fans. I know that right now there's a lot of fans who are in a very fragile place, because for the first time in, maybe since the Zook years, they have hope. And, that's a very fragile thing.
So this is an interesting conversation, Mike, because and one that I think I can have interesting one I can have with you. I do feel like it's a fragile thing. I do feel like August 28th on national television, yep, with Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt in the booth and the first two Power Five teams that are playing in college football, that spotlight is going to be bright. I understand that. And I know that it's a fragile thing for everybody that's going to be in those stands that want to see something great, that haven't seen something great in a long time, right?
Yeah.
I also wonder sometimes, though, is the expectation bar so low that I don't know if Brett Bielema can't jump over it even in a loss? Like, I don't want to go there, because I know a lot of fans don't want to go there. But I feel like as long as the air doesn't come out of the balloon and they get boat raced and people see competent football where Illinois is not beating themselves and there's not a whole lot of penalties and there's not a whole lot of, gee, what the heck happened there?
Exactly.
I think that there's a lot of optimism that can be had from a game that, depending upon the outcome. I don't think Illinois fans need to see a dominant victory here, even though I think a victory could be on the table and an upset victory could be on the table. This to me feels like if competent football is seen on August 28th, and then you roll in and maybe, boat race UTSA and then,
right,
figure out a way to maybe win some games early on in the schedule before you get to that first bye week, maybe, that's something you can build on more than you feeling like, boy, if we lose this one, it's here we go again, kind of thing. I don't feel that way about this fan base. I don't feel like they have that kind of mentality going into the 28th.
I don't think so, but I always draw backwards to the fact that fan is short for the word fanatic.
Right.
And the biggest concern I see is really the difference in what you see. The mentality of a football coach or a basketball coach has to be a lot like a salesperson.
Right.
Because, if Coach Bielema would, roll up into a ball, or Coach Underwood, into a fetal situation, and every time they lost a game and took it as seriously as some of the fans do, they would never have made it as coaches. And there's something to be said. And again, it makes you as a fan look less fanatic. But, the best thing in the world sometimes after a loss is the ability to forget about it, especially if it's a bad loss. And so, when I was coaching sales reps and they would give horrific presentations, it's like, hey, get your mind off of this one, because you got to put those call notes in the computer and we got another one in 12 minutes. So you better figure out what you're going to do different and better in that call that's coming up, and, figure out what you did wrong in this one and apply it, and don't get sad because the next guy doesn't want to see a sad person trying to sell him. And I think that mentality is something that a fan doesn't look at, but a coach is like, hey, okay, that didn't go as planned. So what are we going to correct? What are we going to coach to improve performance? Cause we got another game in a week and we can't be fixated on what happened last week. And to be fair, you can't be fixated on a win either.
Yeah. I like the idea that Bielema has said two things. One is that he's almost kind of tried to downplay everybody and saying, hey, we haven't lost a game yet. Like, I haven't lost a game yet. Let's remind everybody I haven't lost a game yet. He's also said, I asked him about the maintenance program Thursday, Mike, and I said, has that gone as well as you would like it to go? And his answer was interesting to me, Mike, because Bielema said, I think, Matt, the proof will be in the pudding on Saturday, right? Is that if these guys are healthy and they play well in my that have been in my maintenance program, then I know that we're on the right path. But if they don't on Saturday, then I know we need to do something different, right? And so I think while we've been talking a lot about the secrecy of trying to hold something back that Nebraska can't see until the 28th, I do think there's a lot of Christmas morning going on the 28th for the Illinois sideline too, of just figuring out, okay, this is what we have against an opponent that we, you know, that isn't playing the same defense that they've seen for the last month. Like, there's going to be a lot of Christmas morning and finding out exactly what they have on both sides of the ball on the 28th as well. And I think that that could be good and that could be bad, but I get the feeling that there's going to be a lot of optimism coming out of the stadium, win, lose, or draw on the 28th, because I think Bielema has put together not only one, that staff that you talked about, Mike, which I was impressed with from the moment go, and I still am.
Yeah.
And two, the way that he's kind of tried to build this up. And I've been very adamant, Mike, that I don't know if I see the amount of optimism that Illinois fans see in 2021.
Right.
But I don't see the amount of pessimism for 2022 that Illinois fans tend to have as well, because they think that with all these 22 super seniors leaving, that the program is going to take a dip and the 2022 is going to take a dip. If Bielema builds this right, he doesn't want to take that dip. And that's the whole idea, is that we don't get our wheels stuck in the ditch and start spinning them and not going anywhere. Right. So that's kind of what Ron Turner got caught in doing Ron Zook got caught in doing, and you know, and that's not what Brett Bielema wants to get caught in doing. And so I think that this I think Illinois fans should feel some optimism that there's a plan in place, that we're putting these guys in positions to succeed. Now, are they talented enough to actually take it to the next level and actually succeed? I don't know, but we're all going to find out together, I think, on the 28th.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to, you know, when you look at college football and basketball, obviously it takes talent to win. But if you don't have the head coach that can attract the talent due to the ability to coach well and the personality to attract stars, you're not going to go very far. And I think we already have a guy who commands respect from players, very similar to the way that Mike White did, very similar to the way that John Makovic did. And then there's a huge gap, and we've been waiting a long time. And my personal opinion is this is the best duo of coaches that we've had at Illinois since Mike White and Lou Henson were prowling the sidelines and the court side, you know, back in the you know, mid 80s. And I think we've got a combination that's very not similar coaches, but similar talent levels. Now, like Coach Bielema said, we're going to have to see if it can produce, but the potential is finally there.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that's exciting for me, and maybe exciting for, you know, the subscribers on our site, I know it's exciting for a guy like Kedrick Prince, who's our director of recruiting. The 28th is just going to be like, I keep using this analogy, but it's going to be like Christmas. I mean,
yep.
And what I mean by that is 2 hours before the game, there's going to be more recruits on that sideline than there ever has been for a home game since I can remember right now. Honest to God. And I think that there are recruits that are excited, whether they're committed to the 2022 class or they're, you know, on the fence, or they're just guys that they're just being brought in, you know, for future classes. There is a bunch of players. I mean, Kedrick's working on the list right now that he's going to put out there, but it's bigger than I can even imagine. And I'm telling you, the amount of guys that are committed to this class, that are showing up for this game on the 28th, there's going to be a lot of air in that balloon, and there's going to be a lot of hype, and there's going to be a lot of excitement before they ever kick this season off, because of what the future is going to look like down on that sideline. And you've got parents of 22 commits that are excited about coming to Champaign and watching a football game and watching Illinois on national television. I mean, this has all the makings of what, you know, could be a day that you mark and go like, that's the day that Brett Bielema figured out how to turn Illinois football around, or at least start to turn Illinois football around, is August 28th, 2021. And I'm not underselling that, because it's obviously the first game, and they could go out and get boat raced by Nebraska. And then we're all kind of shaking our head and going, okay, this is going to take some time. And we all understand that. But we could also see a day in which not only did on the field, they just look more competent than they've looked in quite a while. But then you look at some of these kids that are on this sideline that represent the future of the program. And I think Brett Bielema has done a great job as the leader of Illinois football with this 2001 reunion, you know, basically kind of, you know, again, earmark the past, the present, and the future of Illinois football. And it's all going to come. It's basically all going to hit Illinois fans on August 28th, 2021. And I think that that's something that's special. And I think that Brett gets that. That's one of the things that I think Brett gets, is the idea of trying to reunite the past, the present, and the future. And I think that's something that I think only somebody who's done this before and done it at a high level and done it, you know, successfully at a high level kind of understands.
Yep. Well, with that, I'm going to close the show, because that is about as good of a finish as we can have here. Just to give people a little bit of a wrap up, thanks to Matt Stevens. He is the Illini Guys staff writer. He covers football like a blanket, but don't underestimate this man. He also is big on basketball, and we'll see an awful lot from him when it comes basketball season as well. Brad Sturdy can't be everywhere. But more importantly, talking about being everywhere, if you're in the state of Illinois, this weekend is a big weekend for Illini Guys fans, because the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular radio show is going to be out. It's syndicated across the state of Illinois with almost 30 stations that will be carrying the Illini Guys. That's a two-hour sports talk show that is Illini-centric. And guess what, folks? We're going to have Coach Bielema on, and he's going to tell you some things that he has not talked about anywhere else. He is our main man in the first hour, and we have some other fantastic guests, along with Matt Stevens, along with Kedrick Prince, along with Brandon Wildman. You're going to see a lot of the cast of characters that are here on the Illini Guys podcast and on the website. So Larry Smith, Brad Sturdy, and myself will be here on the weekend. Tune in to your local stations. Try to take a look. We will have a list up on the website. You will be able to find where we're at around you. Tune us in. You can also find us on the pod. We'll have a podcast released later on Saturday. But support your local radio stations, because we will be on across the state of Illinois. And we will cover the Fighting Illini like a blanket, and you can hear it all on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. And, of course, that leads us to the IlliniGuys.com. That's the site that gives you all the news that you think you can handle, and maybe even a little bit more. IlliniGuys.com, come there. We have a $99 annual subscription fee. You get 7 days to test it out and decide if you like it. And if you want to say hi to us, the Illini Guys will be at the 20th anniversary. We will be around there trying to help cover that event. We will be at the game. I can guarantee you, since COVID hit, this is the first time all the Illini Guys will be in the same place at once. So you'll be able to see Matt Stevens. You'll be able to see Kedrick Prince. You will be able to see myself, Brad Sturdy, Larry Smith. I think Kirkland's going to be around, as Kirkland Chappelle is going to be around as well. And we might even see an appearance from our new social media person. So there is a lot of things going on this Saturday when we kick off on the 28th. So whether you live halfway across the state, whether you live halfway across the country, whether you live halfway across the planet, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Have a fantastic week, and we will see you.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.